Hey, Print Hustlers, this is Bruce from Printavo, Simple Shop Management Software. Today we've got a very special guest. His name's Jay, a.k.a. Jonathan, a.k.a. Jonathan Ornelas, out of San Angelo, Texas. Jonathan is from Success Print Shop. Jonathan, thanks so much for being able to join us today.
And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, of course, of course. So this is an exciting one. I think people find an interest in chatting with like larger shops at times, and you know, because those could be a bit of idols and like, oh, how many autos this and that, and it's like, that's cool and all, but Jonathan has got a really, really neat shop that he's just getting going on, and he's making some really fast transitions. It's in a really cool setup. Let's just hop in. So first, how did you start Success Print Shop?
So I'm 26 now. Back when I was 20, it's 2012. I was working retail. I was going to college, and I was just like, man, I want to make some extra money. My sister was selling stuff on the website Etsy, like vintage stuff, like that stuff she would get from like garage sales and then resell. And she would always come across shops that were selling T-shirts, and she was like, you should sell like T-shirts. You should look into that. So I started looking into that. Of course, I came across Ryanette's videos on YouTube and how to get into screen printing, and he made it look real easy back then. So like, I ordered the equipment that I needed, mm-hmm. started printing. And that year it was August of 2012. Well, that Christmas season, like, I totally like crushed it. Like, made all the money back from the equipment, and like, I just
Where did you find your customers?
So I was selling Breaking Bad like fandom merch, because Breaking Bad was like so, like, it was like the biggest thing at the time, Breaking Bad. So I was printing like a Jesse Pinkman like face on a white T-shirt, and I was selling for like $20 each, and they were just like, I was like killing it. So that was like the first time I saw like, dang, I can make some like, you know, money.
But where'd you sell them on? You sold them on Etsy too?
On Etsy also.
Got it. Yeah. Wait, and hold on one second. Let me take a step back to, because I skipped a couple of things. Okay. It's just you right at your shop in San Angelo with, you just upgraded to an automatic. You're in a container, right?
Yeah, shipping containers.
Shipping container.
So it's 40-foot shipping container. I'm like at the edge of it right now. Like, the wall's like right here behind us, like right behind you, in front of me. That's not where I started though. So back in 2012, I started in my bedroom. I took like everything out of my bedroom, slept on the couch for like the living room couch for like all through college, and like printed. So like for all through college, through 4 years, I printed in my bedroom. So
like after a tabletop press, or?
Yeah, so like the Ryanette silver press. So it was like a four color, one station. Yeah, so like I'd bring like the flash over, and you know, like over the one station, and then print the next color. So it was like a big, I still can't believe I printed that long with that press, as long as I did. But it was just like a side thing as I did college. So like I study and everything, I still had like other part-time jobs, like academy, and then I worked at other retail stores. And
so you're printing in your bedroom. How did you get customers there, friends? Or,
and from the get-go, man, even till like right now, it's just been word of mouth. Still, I want to really dive into some sales like this year. But yeah, at the time, it was just like all word of mouth. And the lady actually, who I used to get, before I even had like a printer to print my own films, like I would go to a print shop, like a local print shop who just had like a laser printer, one that I didn't have. And they would print my films for me at the time. And she's turned into like one of my best customers now, like always sending me like all her T-shirt jobs, because she prints like invitations, wedding invitations, flyers, things like that. So she outsources all her T-shirt stuff to me. So she's still, till this day, like one of my best customers. But so yeah, that was all like for the 4 years I printed on that silver press, just slowly building my clientele. And then after I graduated college, I was working at an accounting firm, because that's what I graduated with, my accounting degree. I was like a runner for 2 years there. So I was just like running errands there. Mm-hmm. And then I got into like an intern position to actually do like taxes. So I was working on some taxes. I only did that for like one tax season with them. And there was like six of us in that intern room. We had a great time. I guess I could say I kind of slacked off. I could have done worked harder there. I didn't quite make the cut. Like, there were six of us and only three stayed, and I wasn't one that stayed. But So like after that happened, after I got laid off, I was like, I had just studied 4 or 5 years of accounting, so that was still very fresh in my mind. Like, I need to find another accounting gig somewhere, and I need to, do it fast because I had just graduated. After a month of looking, and, at this time, 3 or 4 years into like printing, like I had actual customers that I was servicing year after year, over year over year. So my dad was like, you should, try screen printing like full time, going to full time. And so I was like, all right. So then that year, like I just dove into like business books and business podcasts and just filled my mind with all that stuff. And so that was 2016 when that all went down. And so all of 2016, I got my website right, everything. And so 2017, 2018, I just like been crushing it on the manual. And in late 2016, like that year I got laid off and stuff, I upgraded my press too. So I didn't have the silver press anymore. I got like a 4-color 6-station. So that helped a lot. That was a big move for me at the time too. But yeah, at the end of last year, like the very end of last year, I got my first automatic, and that was like a dream come true because that's what I had been working for.
So your background is in accounting, which is pretty unique, as most printers, when they hear accounting or books or,
It's like the worst.
yeah, it's just somebody else, please handle this. Take this off my table. Does that make doing your books a lot easier, or do you still?
I definitely still, so I still have a lot of accounting friends. I definitely still reach out to them when I have a question. But yeah, I definitely can hop into QuickBooks and, do what I need to in there. So it definitely helps. And just also doing my taxes too. Like I definitely do those on my own too. And just knowing what a balance sheet is and what an income statement is and feeling comfortable because, I mean, that's what I looked at for 4 years. So I definitely feel comfortable with it. And I'm so glad that I do because, yeah. I mean, even now, even me, when I have to dive in there, I'm like, it's, it's something that I don't really look forward to, but I'm glad I don't have to like pay someone $300 a month to do it with me.
Sure. Do you run cash or accrual-based accounting?
It's cash.
Got it. Is there a point that you feel like you would start using accrual-based or?
Maybe. I mean, if that's where like it gets to that point, but I mean, I feel comfortable where I'm at right now. I mean, I definitely still do have some like accounts receivable like that I need to collect on customers, but then it's like cash. I'm not like going like through all that.
Sure. Interesting. That's pretty neat. Are there any, 'cause that's a pretty cool background. Is there any tips that you'd be able to offer others of like just getting started and making sure that their books are clean right off the bat instead of, 'cause I feel like a lot of folks, they get a letter from the IRS later that they owe money or they didn't keep track of it or they didn't have receipts or.
Yeah, so like I don't even want to bring it up because I know it's been brought up so many times in like your podcast probably and then other podcasts, like, but that Profit First book, I'm talking about first, yeah, that book has helped us a lot. Even though I have an accounting degree and everything, like just for like cash management, I mean that book has been great. So also just for your taxes, like getting that tax money straight from the get-go, like pulling it out so you don't have to pay that at the end of the year. So I would say look at that book. Profit First, and I know it's been like drilled so many times in all these other podcasts, but I would recommend that book.
Got it. Profit First. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Leaking this out one a little bit, but you may want to come to Print Hustlers Conf this year as
Don't tell me he's gonna be.
we're well. I mean, let's just say you may want to be there. We haven't put out an official announcement yet, but
Finished his last book, Clockwork. Yeah. Hey, all right.
awesome. But
Stay
anywho,
tuned.
So yeah, that'll be exciting. But you're starting to get going. You upgraded the press right when they didn't continue your internship. You're going in full time. That's a big step. You're having to start to pay your own bills and all this other stuff. Like you're realizing all these things are happening. How did you buy that first press? Was it just off cash? Did you finance it?
So the only reason I even upgraded to that press was because I picked up a large job. It was like 2,500 shirts, and obviously I wasn't gonna be able to print that on that other one.
On the tabletop press.
So, oh, but the crazy thing is, so like you can see, like even the press I upgraded wouldn't have fitted like in this area, like because the shipping container's only like right under 8 feet, and I needed like with the flash and everything, I needed like 9 feet. So I needed to like build out a little more space. So like I got that big job, I knew it was coming. So me, my dad, my brother-in-law, we like knocked out like a whole section just to fit that press in. We just built out like 4 foot out. Yeah, that one job like paid for the press. So it was like, that's what it was like. It worked out.
So interesting. So yeah. You mentioned, and we brought this up, you're in a shipping container. If you go to Success Print Shop's Instagram account, at Success Print Shop, you could see this as well. It's super cool looking. How did that happen?
Okay, so I was like working in my bedroom. So now I live like about 20 minutes outside of San Angelo. So it's like in, like on 16 acres. My shop's like on 16 acres of private property now. But at the time, you know, those 4 years when I was in my bedroom, it was like, we were in that house and my parents wanted to move. Like they always wanted to move out in like kind of the country area. You know, I had like all my equipment in that room and there like this new space out here had nothing. Like I wasn't gonna be able to put that equipment nowhere. So I needed to think like something real quick, like, cause they wanted to sell that house and I needed to move my equipment somewhere. Mm-hmm. And also I needed to like service my customers. Cause at that point I was already like, I had a lot of customers to take care of and I
couldn't just really. You don't want them to go into the house.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was my dad who mentioned like the shipping container at one point, like when we were first trying to think, what can I put out there like on the property? And at first I was like, no, that's gonna be like way too cramped. And I remember like getting on Google SketchUp and trying to draw everything out and I was like, yeah, it's not gonna work. And but then like push really came to shove and it was like, you gotta sell the house. Like everything was moved out of the house, like all the furniture. It was an empty house, but just my screen printing equipment was there. And so it was like we had to get out, you know, so they could sell the house. So I was like, and this was like already, you know, basically built. So we were like, all right. So it was going to fit for sure. It was just going to be a tight fit. But I don't know, like once we did it, it was like everything worked out real nice. I'm a small guy myself, so like a big guy in here would probably be like all like cramped all the time, but it works out for me. So we got the shipping container out here and, you know, it's just a straight metal box. Nothing was in it. We framed it up, insulated it, ran electricity, put the panels up, and all that ended up costing a lot more than I expected. Like I think looking back, I probably would have just built out like a small metal building because it was like, I mean, I also bought all the tools to do all the job right. But
how much was it to renovate it and put everything in?
Like close to like 10 grand. Or that's with the container. So the container was like right under 3 grand. So that wasn't bad. So we used container. And then like,
so was the container just sitting there? Did you have to move it to this land to?
Yeah, I bought it. It was a used one from like a place outside of San Angelo. And yeah, they delivered it and put it exactly where I wanted it.
And there's an address, so you can get deliveries and everything?
Yeah. So it's like our home address, so because the home's on the property, so.
Got it. Like, okay.
And it took like 2 months to like build it all out. Me and my dad did everything in it. It was a good memory. Like now, like, it's so, there's so many, like, I got, like, all my outlets, they're so off-centered, like, because we did everything ourselves. So I don't know. It was just a good memory of my dad. We took like 2 months to like build it all out, worked on it like every day, and then got all my equipment in here. And so like just until like the end of last year, it was just the shipping container and that little piece we built out. But now at the end of last year, I added the metal building to it. I knocked out that back wall. Mm-hmm. It's black, right? That's where it's like, you know, goes into the metal building where the auto is. So now I just pump all the shirts into the container and it's working.
That's so cool. That's very unique. Did you paint the outside of it too?
No, it came like that, the green color.
Oh, okay.
It's nice in here. I like it. In the summer, it gets pretty warm, even though it's insulated. But I have I have like an AC right there, and it does a good job.
Very cool. So it's just you. You were running a manual for a while. Tell me about the transition from a manual to an automatic. Like, what sparked it? Where did you start to begin that it's ready to, or I should upgrade?
Yeah, well, probably like all of 2018, the entire time, every time I was pushing that squeegee, like I just knew I couldn't do it no more. Not only like physically it was hard, but it was just like, I just knew I was spinning my wheels. Like I just knew I could be like cranking out work with an auto. So that whole time I was like, I need to get an auto. Like the whole year I was like, I need to get an auto. I was working, I was like pulling all-nighters like all the time. I just knew I couldn't do it no more. In September of 2018, I got a job for a 600 piece. It was going to take like way too long. It was, they needed to like within a week, and I had other jobs to do, so I knew I couldn't do it. So I reached out to a shop in about 4 hours away, San Antonio, for him to print it for me. And I went up there to print with him, and it was just amazing. Like, we printed the whole job like in a few hours, and front and back. It was just so easy. Like, I was just loading shirts. The job got done in time. And after that, I was like, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna see about financing for an auto, because like I need this. I needed it a long time ago.
What was the time savings you feel like of running that 600 shirt job?
That job would have taken me manually, I found myself to be printing about 60 shirts an hour. And that's just me, like, no one catching, no one loading. So 60 shirts, like, 600, that would have been, like, well over, like, 12 hours, and or probably even more, because that was front and back. So it sounds ridiculous, you know. It would have taken, like, a few days to print, like, that job. But that's what it would have been. And, yeah, we printed it, like, in a few hours. And it was done right, too, you know, because, you know, after, like, the 600 shirt, you're going to be tired and whatnot, like, thinking straight. Or I don't know. If yeah. You know, although it's consistent. So it was, like, super nice. Yeah, so we came back. I came back home, and I was like, okay, got to get an auto. Started talking to, like, Workhorse to see about going with them. And then it just didn't work out with the financing. So talked to M&R.
So what do you mean, like, didn't work out, like, just qualifying for
financing? They were gonna want, like, for them specifically, and for, I guess, for where I was at revenue wise and everything, they were gonna want like 10 grand down. Didn't okay. have that.
Got it.
Yeah, so that wasn't gonna work. And then so then I went talked to M&R, and I'm glad I went with M&R at the end of the day, because I talked to some other shops, and it's clear it's like one of the best in the industry. So
sure.
Like, I'm super happy I went with them. And also, that other press with the Workhorse was going to be like a 6-color 8-station, and after talking to other shops too, it was like they were like, "Do not get the 6-color. Like, you're going to want more stations." So
glad. And you didn't want to like have to rebuy or upgrade later again. You know, yeah, you want to keep this one.
At the time, I was like, "No, like that 6-color is going to be great for me. Like, I'm manually printing. It sucks. Like, let me get whatever I can get right now. I need it. I need it. I need it. Need it." But I'm so glad I did go this other way, because it's been good. I already had one job that was like 7 colors, and I was able to print it no problem. So
which one did you end up buying?
The M&R Sportsman 8-color 10-station.
Got it.
And it's been awesome. You were asking about the transition though.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. Like, so it sounds like that was a pretty big breaking point. Did you have any health related issues too, or is it just like mentally this is exhausting?
Oh, so yeah, there were some, I don't want to say health, no, but like there were definitely like a lot of times at the end of the job where, you know, just like my hands were like, actually I'm still so surprised that I don't have like arthritis or something, because I printed so like much manually for
right
6 years manually printing, and I can't believe like my hands feel great, everything feels great. So no, there definitely wasn't health, but just fatigue, man. At the end of like printing like for 6 hours straight or something, and or all those all nighter like print sessions, it was just like, I just knew, like, I was like leaving money on the table, because I could go, you know, knock these jobs out and then move on to the next job and
sure.
just take on more work. I mean,
well, the time savings alone is incredible. Were you saying like one color front, one color back, 600 pieces, and it would have taken you said a couple of days versus 2-3 hours? And it was
yeah. And even at the beginning of that same year, like I printed like, it's like a 3-color, it was like 500 shirts, like 3 or 4 color front, 2-color back. It took me like a freaking week, man. And that's probably not because I didn't print straight. It's like 8-hour shifts maybe of printing, because I can't print like for 12 hours straight without like murdering your body. So, I mean, everybody knows like it's a no-brainer to go auto. So my biggest advice would just be like, get to that point where you can like get that financing for that automatic, and then just start killing it, because I mean, you're just going to be spinning your wheels with the manual. But I mean, they all know that.
So did you have to put money down for the M&R too, and then now make the monthly payments for, or is it just monthly payments?
Yeah, it's at least, yeah.
Got it. And what, I mean, you don't have to give me exact numbers, but like roughly, what does that run for someone else thinking about doing the same?
Month or like the
per month, yeah.
With the insurance and everything, like around a little under $1,300 a month. Mm-hmm. So it's a real payment. It's not like when I had the manual, it was just like, all right, I'm making money and I'm cruising. Now it's like, It's like a real payment. You got to get your sales. You got to get going. It's like a real thing. It's not like playing games no more. It's like, and I mean, it's still, I know $1,300 a month is probably nothing to a lot of big shops, but for like a manual shop going straight to auto, that's like a real payment that you got to meet now. And so, yeah, I mean,
It's a huge commitment for anybody getting going.
Like I said, fortunately, I've had the sales this year to like service it and everything. But the other day, I was just like thinking, I was like, dang, like, it's not a game no more. Like, you gotta, it's like a real business, and I got a real overhead now, and I gotta make sure everything's done right. I gotta take care of all my customers, because if I get bad reviews or something, you know, and I don't get the sales, like, that's gonna, it's like, it's kind of scary, because it's like, it's a risk I'm taking, but it's a risk I'm taking on myself, because I'm working in here all the time, so I know, like, it's not gonna be me that kind of messes up. Like, I don't know. I do think about, like, my customers all the time, and just want to take care of them so that, you know, I don't get no bad reviews or nothing like that that would hurt the business at all. So I'm always trying to take care of the customer.
What, and so with the financing, when you were thinking about it, you know, you said, I'm sure at the stage, right, it's like, okay, $1,300, all right, I got to make that or double that. Was there a way that you broke it down to say, okay, now I need to be able to do X amount of sales per month, or like X amount of jobs with my average order, or like how did you think about that?
I feel like I kind of might have done that at some point, but at the end of the day, I know I was just like,
you just had no choice.
I just was like, not the no choice thing. It was just like, it's always going to be like, sales is going to be everything. Like, I'm always going to have to get more sales. So it's just like, for the past 6 years, I always felt like I was limited, like with the manual. I was like, I can't get more sales because I'm going to, like, I mean, I can, but it was always like bittersweet. I got a big job, but I'm going to go murder my body now. Like,
on right, the right.
It's like always like that. And I knew once I got the auto, there's going to be no, like, nothing to hold me back. Like, nothing. Like, I had the auto, had all the time in the world. I'm going to go print. That's what I've been doing. I'm like, in here every day printing. But so I just knew, like, it wasn't like what you're saying, breaking it down. It was just like, I knew once I had it, now I have like nothing to hold me back to go get those sales and go work as hard as I can.
So first week with the automatic, or actually let's talk about getting it installed and everything. So let's say you go up there, you purchase it. How long did it take to get to your door and installed and trained? And
I don't know. Like, I purchased it, and then like it took a while for them to come out, but it's because like I was still putting up the metal building, so it was like, they were kind of waiting on me because, like, the metal building was still coming up. It hadn't gotten insulated or anything. So that was that. Sometime, like, beginning October, like, I purchased the equipment. It wasn't until, like, late December that it was, like, delivered. But a lot of that was because of, like, they were waiting on me. When I was first talking to them, it was, like, going to be, like, I think 2 or 3 weeks for it to come out. So I think for most people, if they have, like, their whole, like, the space for it to come and everything, it'd probably be, like, a 3-week thing. For me, it was, like, more like 2 months, but... All right, so once it came, it got installed. They said it was going to take like 3 days to do the install and the training. It did take 3 days, it took like 2 days, but I helped the guy and everything. My dad was here to help him too, like lift up the arms and install it. So, and I was there with the guy, so like anything he needed me to do. So it went a lot quicker than 3 days, but the training, the gentleman said like he never printed in his life. He didn't know anything about printing. He was just there to install. So he tried to show me, or he showed me some of the basic stuff, and I was like, okay, I got it. And so like we printed like one thing, and it was like so out of like, it was so like out of registration that just told him.
It looked 3D.
Yeah, it was bad. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm just going to play with this over the weekend, because it was like a Friday. I was like, you can take off. I'm not going to, you know, take his time, and we're not going to print this together. Like, I'll figure it out.
Right.
And I felt, I had already watched, like, there was, like, an M&R video on YouTube, and I already had watched. It was, like, an hour long of, like, training, the same training that guy gave me. So I kind of felt kind of comfortable already with, like, how to work the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Not printing, but just how to, like, operate it. So, yeah, over the weekend, like, I printed, and, yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, my biggest advice to anybody going manual to auto, do not do it when you're busy, like, during your busy season. So I know a lot of people have different busy seasons, but for me specifically, like August through like November is like my busy season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad I didn't like try to do auto, like go make the transition during that time, because I would have been like, I don't even know what would happen. I probably would have lost customers, because I would have been backed up. I would have probably ruined, I would have ruined so much shirt. So I did it December, January, just because it worked out like that. I didn't really plan it like that. And that's like, you know, obviously the slowest season of the year. So it worked out. I had a lot of time to play with the machine.
That's a great tip. And then so the video helped a lot with setting it up. And
yeah, so when the guy came, I already knew a lot. Well, no, I don't want to say like a lot, but I felt comfortable with the stuff he was telling me.
And do you have a Trilock system for...
I don't. Another tip that I could give your guys is, have you came across it, the rapper registration on Instagram at all or no? Rapper Reg?
Yeah, like, I've seen a little bit about it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm using, and man, it's so great, dude. And until you can get the Trilock or and all the whole setup, then, you know, I would recommend this to your guys, like, because it's just, you just put this template on the, you just tape it down to the pallets, and then you register all the screens to that template. And it's great, man. I was timing myself the other day, and I was around the 4 or 5 minute screen. That's with putting the ink and the flood bars and the squeegees in and everything. So I think it's great. Obviously, it's not as nice and good as the Trilog, but until then, you know, I would recommend that thing. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Those are some really great tips, especially for people getting going on it too.
I got some more tips. It's going.
Oh, really? Drop it. Let's go.
The ultimate tip is ask questions to other big shops who are willing to like answer them, because like they already done it, they already know what they're doing, and just like ask questions. Like that's what I did. I asked so many questions like other shops, and they're so helpful. And one thing I would recommend like big time is I don't know if you know or your listeners get like the red blockout screens, because like versus like regular screens, like they don't have like the red blockout on the sides. So that way you don't have to like tape off one side. You don't have to tape off the t-shirt side because it already has like the blockout. You just got to tape off one side.
Sure.
It's a big like time saver for like taking the tape off the screens. No, but the one thing I wanted to say was if you don't have those red blockout screens, like make sure you tape off the, because like manual printers, they don't tape off. We don't have to tape off like the t-shirt side. Never did I. But so when I jumped on the manual, like, I mean, on the auto, I printed like 8 shirts with like the ink went under the tape and onto the shirt. So, because I didn't tape off the t-shirt side. So, like, if you don't have those red blockout screens, just make sure you tape off the t-shirt side. Nobody kind of told me that, and I didn't know that. And I ruined some shirts like that. It's like one of the first messes I did, and I was like, dang, like, I didn't know I had to tape off the t-shirt side, because like automatic is like, it's different. It's just going so fast, and it's gonna ruin some shirts if you're not taping those sides off.
That's very interesting. Are there any other tips or things that you asked other shops that you found very helpful or insightful that you didn't know about?
When I first started, like, I could not print a decent white base, like under base, and I don't know why. And I talked to one shop, and I was like, how are you, like, I just asked them, like, straight up, like, what's your angle on your squeegee blade? And that's, like, the only question I asked about the squeegee, and this guy, he helped me a lot. He's, like, told me, like, 3 things to do to get, like, a decent white, and one of them was, like, fix the angle. Like my angle was like crazy, man. I was like, I don't know, because I never printed auto, so I didn't know how it was supposed to be, but it needed to be like that. It needed to be like a lot more stiff, more upright. My angle was crazy, so make sure your angle's more straight.
Vertical, almost, you're saying, for
more vertical, for sure. I don't want to say straight, but very close to it.
Is there a degree or
a degree? Yeah, I think it might be like 10 or 15 is the angle, but kind of weird on the M&R. I'm surprised it doesn't have like an actual, it has numbers, but there's no like point to say exactly where you're at. So just make sure your angle's good. Also, I kind of feel like I don't want to act like I know what I'm talking about at all with this auto stuff, but this is what helped me to print a decent white. And then so the angle, make it go way slow. Like I was having it go way quick, like slow it down. So like on the M&R for me, it's like put it at a 3, and as soon as those two things, it like I was like clearing the screen very nicely. So those two things, make sure your angle's good, like more vertical, and you can have the flood go, I guess, however fast, but make sure the squeeze is going a little slower, like a lot slower. Also, probably just like watch videos, like probably on Instagram, of how fast somebody else's squeegee is moving, you know? That's what I kind of did too. The red blockout screens, another printer gave me like that tip to make sure you get the red blockout screens.
Have you had to worry about any maintenance yet? Although I know you bought new, so.
It's been back in my mind every day, because I know there is some stuff I need to take care of. I have the M&R rep coming out next week, and I'm going to have him, because when they came, you know, they gave me all the maintenance and all the operation and all this stuff. It was too much stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to have him follow up with me, and I'm going to ask him, like, everything that needs to be, like, maintained.
Got it. Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome, especially being proactive about it. So you've got the auto now. It's just you still. So I feel like it almost seems like next step is get help, right? What are you thinking about on that end?
I remember thinking when I was like, man, when I get that auto, I'm gonna be so set for so long. Like, I won't have to hire help because I'm already working like manually and I don't need no help. So when I get the auto, like, definitely not gonna need no help. But it's crazy, man. Like, I don't know. I'm just fortunate. Like, the sales are coming in, so I am staying very busy because, you're printing maybe 100, 200 shirts, and they're all gonna be falling at the end of the dryer. You got a pile to go pick it up. It's like literally, I couldn't believe it. Like, when I printed like a big job the other, or like when I, one of my first big jobs on the auto, I was like, it was harder picking up the shirts at the end of the pile than it was like printing the t-shirts, which, usually when I was like manual printing, it was like so hard to print t-shirts and picking up was nothing. But now it's like the opposite. So yeah, I got to get somebody in here for sure. I do get some help every once in a while from like some family members to help me bag and tag because I fold and bag and tag all my orders. So that's also a big tip probably to give to your listeners, and they might already know that, but I think that's helped a lot is the bagging and tagging
What
customers.
for the appeal or the professionalism?
The what? Oh yeah. Well, so also I throw like a
Like a flyer of yours in there?
So I'll throw like a, and this I would wish I would have done sooner, but I throw like a card in there with, so like every person who like opens up a bag, they're gonna see that first, and then the bag has some information about the online stores and about a design studio on our website. And I don't want to say this is like a big make it or break it, like everything, but this is more like a branding thing. Like, every shirt that somebody's opens, they're gonna see that like in there for sure. And it's a decent sized card, so I mean, they could chunk it and everything, but if they don't chunk it, it's gonna be laying around and it'll be there. But I think it helps just for branding. Also, like, I have custom, like, I print my custom boxes just with the logo too, so that helps with branding too. I think that would help some listeners, or at least getting going. Maybe once you get to a certain point, I might get to that point too where I can't bag and tag no more because it's just too much. But I definitely think it's nice for the customer, and I think it's helped me get new customers for sure.
100%. Yeah, and
Like
you're at
real quick.
a, when you're small too, you can do things that just aren't scalable, that don't make sense for a bigger shop, and that's a great advantage to have.
Like, text messaging, man. Like, I know I can't text message every single one of my customers in the future because it's going to be too much. But right now, man, I text 90% of all my customers everything all day long, every day. So that's also probably a tip. Maybe I don't know if your listeners would be down for that, but I text all my customers and they like it. Like, everybody's on the go, so it helps,
Oh,
which I
100%.
think that can be scalable, I'm sure.
100%. Yeah, that's why we added text messaging and Printavo as well. Sorry, just to be able to like get payments a lot quicker and
Yeah,
send
that's
out
awesome.
notifications and things like that. So, what do you think you'd hire first?
So I don't know. It's like I don't want to say I want to do everything because I've read enough business books to say you can't do everything and all that stuff. But I kind of want to say like probably like a sales, like an outside salesperson. But then I don't know how that would work because I know other shops have outside sales reps, but there's so much back and forth like with the artwork and the garments and everything. It's like how would an outside sales rep like deal with all that stuff? I always think about that.
Yeah.
I
It
guess
seems
they
like you
have.
provide the most value with the customers. I mean, you're texting with them, you're kind of the face, they like dealing with you, they like, you know.
So yeah, I'm like I stay so flexible for them. Like, all their changes, anything, like I make them, and I make them like with a smile on my face. Like, I tell them, like, I'm always getting them to, they're always like, oh, I'm sorry. And the printers know this for sure. The customers, whenever they make a change, they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I know I'm being picky. And I get that all the time. They're always apologizing. They're always saying, I know I'm being picky, but I tell them, like, no, this is my job. I'm here. We'll change this 100 times until it's perfect. I tell them that all the time. So yeah, I definitely am very close to all the customers. So to answer your question, probably get like a printer, someone who can run the press while I deal with the customers. Also, you would think like maybe getting the screen, like letting someone reclaim the screens, clean the screens would be a job I want to get, like, go to. But I don't know, the other day I was like reclaiming screens and I was like, man, this needs to get done right. This needs to get done so perfect too. So it's like, I don't know if I'd want that to go away. Artwork, I know artwork is like a big deal because it takes so long and there's so many changes. But from the get-go, man, since I was a kid, like, artwork is like my favorite. It's been my favorite. So I don't know if I ever want to get rid of that. And also, like, the bookkeeping, like, I'm an accountant, so I can't, like, or I have an accounting degree, so it's like the bookkeeping, the artwork, and probably the customers is probably like what I want to stay with as long as I can, and
Yeah.
get everybody something else, maybe the printing and the pulling and all that stuff, but it could be anything, I guess.
It's exciting. I'm really excited to be able to check in and see where things are at in a year. And how actually, we're always in Fort Worth for the show there. How far are you from that?
Yeah, it's like 5 hours away, so it is pretty
Oh,
good.
okay.
Yeah, Texas.
Yeah, got it. No worries. This has been exciting, man. I really appreciate giving some tips here. There's so many shops getting started, and doing exactly like you did, starting in their room, starting in the garage, the basement, wherever they can get space. And that first step, it's almost like you said, it's legitimizing the business. So it's very exciting to see that and also hear some of the tips to be able to help them as well. So yeah, Jonathan, I really appreciate the time here today and this has been exciting. You talk about reading a lot of different business books. I like to ask, what's maybe a book or a person that you're following, reading through now that you'd like to share?
And real quick, before I answer that question, there's something I wrote
Yes.
down that you gave a long time ago, like in one of your podcasts, that has helped me a lot. Is and there's probably a bunch of websites that like it now, but ignitiondrawing.com, ignition drawing.
Oh yeah,
Like,
Corey, yeah.
and like I always think, like, man, if I didn't hear Bruce say that, like, what would I still be doing? I would be recreating all these logos. So yeah, anybody out there listening, like, who needs like a small JPEG, like recreated or vectorized or digitized, like, that's the website to go to. I use them all the time, and that has helped me so much. And they're fast, man. Like within 24 hours, like every time. So
That's
check them out for
awesome.
sure.
Yeah, I'll tell Corey that you said that. I know he's got a couple of tools that they're also building too. They're building like a designer tool for
Nice.
end customers to use, and then of course they've got the digitizing, they've got the vector redrawing. So
They're quick. I don't know how they do it so quick, and they do it good too. So I was like, I know, I always think, like, if I didn't hear Bruce mention this, like, really? But to answer your question about the books, so when I was manual printing, I had hours and hours and hours to like listen to like audiobooks and podcasts. So I did
sure.
clean up. Now that I'm a manual, I mean, like auto printing, I'm like, I don't have that much time, so I haven't been on them as much as I like to be. But one book very specifically is The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. The 10X Rule, dude, that book got me so fired up to just work. Just to get in the shop and grind it out. It just talks about taking massive and massive and massive amounts of action. Action, action, action on action on action. Like, just grinding it out. Like he says, I wish, I could tell you can be successful, like, just taking the normal levels of action, but he's like, it's not the way it is. You have to take big amounts of action. So that book got me real fired up to just, like, get in the shop, manually print, grind it out, and I still listen to that book. I still, like, whenever I'm having, like, maybe I need some motivation, like,
Yeah.
I'll just put that book on. That's the first, like, 20 minutes of that book got me so fired up. Also, another book that I read a long time ago that, I mean, I'm still a one-man shop, so I guess I haven't applied it too much, but it's The E-Myth. Have you heard of that one, The E-Myth?
He myth?
Okay, well, no, The E as in Edward,
Oh,
The
E
E-Myth.
myth. Got it, got it.
Yeah, that book was straight up, like, just talking about documenting like all your processes so that, making them like basically dummy proof so that you can get anybody in here and everything like will run the same over and over again. I think about that book a lot, but also Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz. The E-Myth was written like in the 80s, I think. This Clockwork is like a 2018 book, and it's the same idea. So maybe Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz for sure.
Got it. I'm
Also,
adding all these to my cart right now as you're
Brett Bowen, Brett Bowden in at Printed Threads.
Yeah.
I seen to, when you were talking to him, and he mentioned Shoe Dog, that he had read Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. And I read that back like at the end of the last year, and I don't know, it was just like, actually any business book. So I read like another business book by Ken Langone, I think, the co-founder of Home Depot, called I Love Capitalism. Just any of those business books, man, like, here's these like regular guys, they built huge businesses and there's nothing special about them. And I love listening to that stuff because it's like, they're just regular guys, like, start some like worse conditions than others, and they just grind it out, they just persisted, and I just love listening to that stuff, like, just filling my mind with all that stuff, and it keeps me motivated all the time. So I don't know.
Heck yeah. I've got those on the list. E-Myth, 10X Rule, Shoe Dog. And then you said the other one by
Okay,
Mike.
I love Capitalism.
Okay, got it.
But you can delete all those other ones. Just put the 10x rule. Like, get that one today. I love that one.
Perfect. Got it. Awesome. Well, Jonathan, really, really appreciate the time you spent with us today. I know you're super busy. This has been very helpful. I can't wait to share it with everybody else. So, thank you again.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later, bro.
Bye.